This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show, and this half hour of the show is being brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. I just literally went through the buying experience myself Saturday at Sunbury Motors. Ended up getting a Ford Explorer, brand new, 2024. Why? I wanted the warranty. Why did I go to Sunbury Motors? Went to Sunbury Motors quite simply because I think they're the best. So I went in there. Chris was just tremendous to deal with. The Stanger, getting it done. Then Jared, because you have to go through the entire financing process afterward, quick, efficient, doesn't waste anybody's time, just great people to talk to. Yeah, Stanger may be a West Virginia guy, okay, in terms of being a West Virginia fan, but he's also a Red Sox fan. So, okay, so he did enough there to satisfy me on that part. But it was a great experience, and I wanted new. Why did I want new? I wanted the warranty. You know, and that was really important to me, and they made sure that that was taken care of because I got an extended warranty on it, bumper to bumper. But maybe your budget says you can't do that. I was fortunate I was able to do it. Maybe your budget says otherwise. Well, guess what? Pre-owned inventory. I went through the lot. I saw all this great pre-owned inventory on the lot, and they go over each one of them with a fine-tooth comb. It's the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Service department, tremendous. Routine, difficult. They handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You know, college sports is so much fun. That's why people go to it in droves. That's why Beaver Stadium has 110,000 people in it, game in and game out. I go to Ohio State, same thing. Go to Michigan, same thing. But at the same time, there's still concern about the future of college sports and how people react to it. I was at an event in Newcastle in Lawrence County on Tuesday night, and like the transfer portal and the NIL, it's like not everybody in the room is comfortable with it. And I understand that. I think structure would make it more comfortable. Well, you have court cases going on right now, and part of the court case that's going on, the House case, is that there's been an instruction from Claudia Cowan, the judge, to have, you know, the two sides sit down and see if they can work it out before they go to trial in January. Well, they're at least doing that right now. Let's bring in Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports to join us, the outstanding one. Dennis, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Steve, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
I hope you're doing well, by the way. Let's get to some of our favorite topics, and that would be I always refer to these now as the Kessler cases because he's the one that's the central figure in all of them. But they're sitting down, and they've been instructed to go through settlement talks. What have you learned from those settlement talks, and is there any opening that they can get this done before the trial starts in January?
Well, the story that emerged this week is that the Power Four are attempting to institute a revenue-sharing plan with players. We don't know exactly who players, basketball, football, all of them, all of the minor sports, as a way to facilitate the settlement for the House case. Now, that doesn't necessarily settle the other cases, but which, as you said, Jeffrey Kessler has some of them. He doesn't have all of them. I think if they did settle this one, the House case is huge. It would indicate to a jury that there has been made progress in the antitrust area. What they want to do is avoid going to a jury. But they have to get House settled first because it goes to trial in January. We're 9 months away. That's in legal years, that's like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do this week.
All right, and are there two parts to this? One is damages to those who have gone through this but never were compensated and those who are currently involved. Does that sound right?
The class, from what I've read, the class in House, the class of athletes, is about 7,000 who have the 2018 to 2020. That was the period they put in the lawsuit that weren't properly compensated for their NIL rights and brought in money from the broadcast contract. And a lawsuit, they estimate that to be something like $1.4 billion. Okay. If they lose at trial, I'm just giving you an example here. Automatically, in U.S. law, antitrust, you lose at trial, damages for treble.
Right.
They would be on the hook. NCAA in the schools for $4.2 billion. That would essentially end the NCAA. The forward piece, they want to just off the book. There's no money. I'm just trying to change the landscape with that lawsuit being placed and paid. So that's another reason why it's so important.
Yeah, when he means treble, this isn't the USFL case for a dollar that ended up at three.
No.
It's a little bit more.
No.
Now, Trev Alberts, and it may have been talking to boosters, whomever, I don't know, mentioned that he threw out the numbers of 15 to 20 million per year that athletic departments would have to come up with. Dennis, what would that then mean for athletic departments who are sitting there and have probably done 3 to 5 year projections and never counted on this being in there?
Yeah, you must have read my story for a couple of weeks ago. That's exactly what I wrote about. Like, how do ADs do future budgets with this hanging over their heads? And the answer was they can't. But that number is accurate, that they would be on the hook for $15 to $20 million each on average in the Power Four. I had written a story, gosh, earlier this year. These questions popped into my head. So how could they afford it? It's another massive expense. Well, they can't afford it. The athletic department can borrow from the school. The school could borrow from a bank if it's that big. And as I was told in research for this story, universities are absolutely great customers for banks because the banks know they're going to get their money back.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about a year. It could be a 30-year note. It could be like, you know, it could be like buying a house.
Yeah.
So they can afford it, state subsidies, what have you. The bigger issue is getting it done so they can progress. Even if they get this done, if they get this settled, these lawsuits settled, it doesn't stop the spigot of possible lawsuits. It doesn't stop NIL, and it doesn't stop collectives. So I've come to the conclusion, Steve, that I think, just, you know, cutting to the chase, it's going to have to be employee-employer relationship, collective bargaining, where you can get rid of all this stuff. That'll take another few years, probably, but this is a step.
And yes, I do read all your stuff. You know that.
Somebody does. You're the guy.
I'm the guy. Just like every once in a while you hear me do a game, you're the guy.
So, that's right.
So Dennis, the next part is, I think it was the Fiesta Bowl hosted it, where they had the bowl reps. How important could collective bargaining be to solving their opt-out problem?
Well, this speaks to the reason why you need collective bargaining and an employee-employer relationship. You can't compel players to participate. No pro player has written into his contract, you have to play in the World Series. You have to play in the Stanley Cup. Why would you?
Right.
Yeah, you'd be foolish. Your agency, you'd be foolish to do that. Why would you do that? Why hurt yourself? There's a legal term called a specific performance clause that applies here that you don't see in those contracts. Specific performance says it has nothing to do with money. It's something like if you have, let's say, a prenuptial agreement and you get divorced and one person gets the dog, you have to do that. That's a specific performance. Mm-hmm. No one can compel you to play. Now, can you write it into a, you know, an agreement? Again, I think they'd be dumb to write that in there. Because who is going to decide, for instance, if you're healthy enough to play? If you want the right to opt out, if you're Bryce Young and the decision for a playoff is $30 million guaranteed, number one choice, you might break your leg playing four extra games. You know, and I'm not endorsing it.
Right.
I'm just saying those are the factors here. So when I saw that story, I said it was from two sources who absolutely are interested in players playing in bowls. The head of the bowls, Nick Carparelli, and Eric Moses, who's the head of the Fiesta Bowl. But I made some calls this morning. You can't compel players to participate.
What if they have a contract that would state that if in given year, whatever game we play in, you have to be available for?
Well, I think the collectives could do it.
Yeah.
But you know, if those players are getting any kind of representation at all, you know, that would have to be scrutinized. And then you're talking about, to make it stick, every collective doing it. You know, to do the deal. So, you know, again, if I'm Caleb Williams, I don't have that in my deal because, you know, I can go somewhere else to get the money where it's not in my deal. If I get up there and I'm the number one draft choice, we're probably talking about a very small amount of players.
Sure. Right.
But I don't know if there's a way. I think there's a way. In fact, I know there's a way you can reward players for participating. I mean, there's already word out there that Fox was trying to put together a postseason basketball tournament with their TV partners, Big 12, Big 10, I forget who else, schools that didn't make the tournament.
Big East.
And then they would, Big East, and they, players would get money, NIL money, for participating. But that's not the same thing. We're talking about two different things.
Right. They are two different things. Traditionally, in your research, how tough a negotiator is Kessler?
He's the best. You don't want to be tangled up with him. This is a guy who, through many of the machinations we're talking about right now, created the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would submit, you know, along with the Major League Baseball Players Association, maybe the most powerful labor union on earth, one of them. So, when I called him the other night to get a comment on this revenue sharing thing, he didn't have a comment. He didn't want to speculate on it. But I think he sees a way here because, look, he's going to get whatever his money is, 30% or whatever it is. I think he wants these done too, but he is a change agent. He is going to be the guy when they write the book, if and when we have employee-employee relationships in college, who is going to be in the first sentence of the first chapter.
Yeah.
He's a Marvin Miller type. Although Marvin Miller represented players, this guy he's representing players as well. He's going to be that change agent.
You need to have a change agent or agents on the other side, though. So who are the change agents and the leaders on that side that can help make it happen so that he does become the ultimate change agent?
You mean agents that represent players?
I'm talking about the people that would negotiate the side to open the door to get this settled. Who's the leadership on that side?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think you have to assume that the Big Ten and SEC are the leaders in that right now. In fact, I wrote that earlier this week because they've got the means and they've got the motivation. And obviously, the ACC and Big 12 are also involved. But you know, I think you can assume the two commissioners of those, or the four commissioners of those leagues are involved, and then the general counsels of those leagues.
Tony Battiti has a wide range of in his background. How much can that help? Because he does have that wide range, whether it's TV or the negotiations and so forth.
I think he's, again, I think him and Greg Sankey, in my personal opinion, are the leaders in this. They're very smart. They want to get this finalized. Whether it does to the point where there are no more massive lawsuits, I don't know. But they are, I think they are being progressive and taking the next step. You remember on February 1st, they announced that joint advisory group between the two conferences, and that was really ominous, I thought, at the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. You know, they're not separating, but they're saying, we got this. And I think that's part of that. I was told the joint advisory group isn't involved in this, but the people I just described, I think, are involved in this to get this to the next level.
Have you had any thoughts at all or conversations with anybody about, you know, there's been a lot of expansion. Texas and Oklahoma paid the way to get out for the last year. Oregon and Washington are now in. Now, people are wondering about Florida State. What, are, if anything, are you hearing about Florida State?
Nothing lately, only that conceptually, if Florida State and Clemson get their way, then that provides a blueprint for the likes of Miami, maybe Virginia, North Carolina. And then the discussion becomes, Is it a Big Three where the other schools sort of matriculate to the Big 12? And the ones I just mentioned are gobbled up by the Big Ten and SEC? Or does the ACC continue to exist just in a diminished fashion? But there, from what I've read, and I don't, you know, and all the court filings, it looks like there is a way out. It looks like, name your price. You know, there is a way they can buy out of this, Florida State, and then the other ones would have to, they have to get out first, and then the SEC and Big Ten can move in. You know, I don't see any reason why Florida State, the SEC would want Florida State. They've got the state of Florida with Florida.
Right.
I'm sure Florida would be very against that. But Texas and Texas A&M are in the same conference, so
right, exactly.
Never say never.
Right, never say never. But there's also... There's also, to me, for the conferences, there's a common sense element that comes into play. Texas, Oklahoma played 3 years in the Big 12, then bought out the last year. Right? Oregon and Washington came in at a reduced number in the Big 10. Common sense tells me that doesn't line up for Florida State of getting a jackpot if they get out.
No, that's why this is a thing. There are... What's 12 years left in the ACC contract?
That's right.
I think ESPN can re-up. There's a look in 2027, I think.
Okay.
And look, if you're ESPN, why wouldn't you renew it? You've got those schools at a bargain basement price. That's why they signed the deal.
Right.
That's the difference. Texas and Oklahoma in 21 were 3 or 4 years out from the end of their contract with the Big 12 and the rights holders, and they in fact gave notice in May of that year before they left that we're not going to renew the grant of rights. So that should have told you something.
Sure.
With Florida, Pac-12, obviously it was collapsing around them.
Yeah.
With less than a year to go, so that's the huge difference. So there's a lot of money in rights fees left in 12 years.
A lot of money left. Dennis, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I know you jumped on with us late, and we appreciate it as always. And yes, I do read everything.
Yeah, you'll be held. It'll be a test at the end of the semester, Steve.
I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on. Bring it on.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet, Dennis. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, and always does a great job informing the audience. One of the keys to this show every single time is that hopefully when the show's over, you learn more about something. And that's why you're bringing guests like Dennis Dodd, because I think he does a great job of, when he's done, people at least have a better handle and know more about something, which I feel he did today, talking about the House case versus the NCAA. Next half hour, Sweeney Murdy will join us. We'll talk some baseball with him, and we'll get him on. He can tell you a little bit about his Bucknell background on top of that, which is a hidden gem. This half hour has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, routine to difficult, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show, and it's being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs. They cover them all and make sure you're covered, and they do everything they can to save you money. And in this economy, whatever you can save money while still being fully taken care of, you'll go for that every time. These are the pros in insurance. They are the pros. And all they care about, customer service. That means everything to them. Great people, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, Wednesday, August 7th. Get your team together now. With that, we bring in Anil Kulong. Sir, always a pleasure. Nothing like the NFL schedule release to put smiles on people's faces.
You're actually not far off from the truth with that. Not even so much for an educational purpose, just more this is what the chaos of doing this is going to be like tonight. It's usually the funniest night of the year as far as what I do. It's coming up with ideas and different things to talk about. There's a lot of it. It's enjoyable in the sense that you always think you couldn't push this far. You would not be able to prevent yourself from going too far with this. But every year it kind of turns out you might not have done enough. People eat it up. They really love the conversation that comes with it. And the joke we have, and I'm going way too long with this, I know, is that, you know, it used to be in the 16-game season. They're 12-4. I don't see a fifth loss in the schedule. You know, 14-2 this year for sure. Or the team that was 2-14 last year is now going to be 8-8 or whatever. It's the most optimistic day of the season. And every team feels much better about their chances moving forward. And the ones that don't are blaming the league for it, which galvanizes their team even more. So it's us against the world now. And it's a fun day. We enjoy this quite a bit.
Okay, so the opener on Monday Night Football is going to be the Niners and the Jets. Aaron Rodgers gets to go back to the Bay Area, and we get to see if the game goes overtime if Mike Shanahan knows the rules.
That's a good way to look at it. Aaron Rodgers on back-to-back Monday night openers. You're asking for trouble with that, right? I mean, maybe that's why they're putting him on natural grass this time instead of the cursed turf at MetLife Stadium. But definitely a game I could see why you'd want to put that in prime time. I would be excited to watch that. I know full well how well coached the 49ers are. They come out of the gate hot. They're usually looking like the future Super Bowl champions in week one, as Pittsburgh certainly saw last year. The Jets, you don't know what you're going to get. So I think there's a fun element of who are these teams going into this season now? What is this going to be like? And we haven't seen Aaron Rodgers play football for a long time. And, you know, I said it last year. I don't think he's quite as good as people think he is anymore. And we'll see what they have to do to prop him up in order to make him successful. But you've got an entire front office on the line in New York right now. I think a large chunk of the impression of this season that they're going to leave is going to hinge upon what they look like in this game. And it happens to be a primetime game on the other side of the country against one of the best teams in the sport. So a lot of pressure on the Jets in this one. definitely one I'd love to watch tonight. I you know, you kind of get that feeling with the schedule as well. You kind of hope that time speeds up a little bit. You get to dive back into the games, but that's a great one, a no-brainer in my mind to put on prime time.
The Eagles and Packers, though, are going to be on Peacock from Brazil. How do you view the Peacock part of it? Because still 70 to 80 million homes in this country have cable.
I think streaming, to me, and I'm not a huge techie guy, but streaming to me really depends on your service provider. The experience that I have seen when I knew that my internet was, my wireless was working properly, it was fine. I had no issues with it. But weather came through one time. I'm trying to remember which game it was, but it scattered things up a bit. There was, you know, pretty long pauses. I ended up being good solid 4 or 5 minutes behind real time in the game. And there's not a whole lot you can do about that. And that's kind of frustrating. But overall, I think the lack of total saturation, which is really what the NFL is in terms of its market, I think that there is something to be said about that. I mean, there was a time, you probably remember this as well, but there was a time that not everybody saw every game, you know.
That's right.
Not that they actively watched it, but they have, you know, the multiple screen experience is a fairly new phenomenon in our culture. So there was a time in which you had to, like, actively look to find the other game, to a point where week to week you didn't even necessarily know who was playing. Now you know everything about every game as it's going on, and you're actively tuned in to several games for a variety of different reasons. Putting it without live access, I think, cuts into that a little bit. But at the end of the day, the novelty of it having, I don't even know if there is a term for this. I mean, it's an international game. It's the only game that's on, and it's not in prime time. I don't know what you call that. It's kind of the cousin of a prime time game. They've got the exclusive audience without the nighttime market reach. With this, though, they're slashing that considerably. You know, obviously the hope for Peacock is to get people to subscribe to their service. Whether they will or not, you know, remains to be seen. I think we talked about this last year. I think they did okay with it for the, what was it, the Chiefs, Chiefs playoff game against the, whoever it was, the divisional round.
Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins. A game that I think a lot of people would otherwise have tuned in if they didn't have to sign up for Peacock right away. And now Peacock has, you know, probably burned through, I don't know how many free trials they'll give out. They're looking to, you know, to convert users into monthly subscriptions now. So I would imagine the number will drop a little bit. I wouldn't think as many would watch it, even if it is two marquee teams. But you know full well the people within those markets are going to get it. And if you're going to do that, you probably should put, you know, a full NFC East game on there. You put Cowboys and Eagles up against each other, I think you're going to get perhaps a little bit more just the size of the Dallas market compared to Green Bay. But Green Bay being an international brand, I'm sure they'll do just fine. But it'll be interesting. You know, you get into the business side of these things, it's kind of educational to take a look at what their marketing strategy is and operate under the idea that they really don't even know. I don't think they have a great sense of how this is all going to go down, but they're clearly pushing into this area. Gives them leverage in future rights negotiations. Perhaps everything that's going on with the NFL Network right now, that's technology that they want to utilize to cut costs and still be able to provide as much programming as they do. A lot of answers can come from it. I'm kind of curious to see how that's all going to shake out.
So that brings up Christmas Day now, which is a Wednesday. I would assume that they would try to schedule some of these teams on Saturday, which would be opposite the college football playoff, to then lead into Christmas Day to buy them a day. But there's been some talk that they may sell it off to Netflix. Now, I don't know what the TV contracts read, but if I'm the president of Fox, NBC, CBS, ESPN, I'm looking around saying, well, what did I pay 10 years for if you're just going to bid out games? These are regular season games. Am I right, wrong on this?
Well, I think it's fair. I think it goes to show just how incredibly intricate those deals are. And maybe not even so much intricate as you would think. Roger Goodell and his army of lawyers versus Rupert Murdoch, his representatives, and their army of lawyers, they're looking at where this is all going. And you have to think, the idea that Thursday night game, though not incredibly popular and kind of controversial, they're still going on. It's not a chief complaint the way it was when they were first doing it for every team. It's become accepted. So what's the difference between Sunday to Thursday versus Saturday to Wednesday? When you have that Christmas Day market, you're going to want to push into that. So you got to think to some degree, the NFL had clauses within the deal that said we have the right, to broadcast wherever special event games, which would include Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday situations. You'd think that they would have made sure that that's excluded from the verbiage in the deal that they signed with the network, whoever happened to be Fox, CBS, ESPN. It's an interesting question. I wonder, for me, you know, not even getting into all of that, I wonder if it's not just kind of a leverage thing that the NFL is just sort of holding out there, because you got to look at it from Fox's perspective. That's budget that they didn't necessarily plan on for those times. you know, Christmas in some cases, if they're working within unions, that's time and a half. It's more travel. It's more expensive travel. That may be an issue for what they're doing. Like, we didn't sign on for this. You didn't, you know, it's a Wednesday. You're doing Christmas Day games now. Okay, well, if you're not going to do it, you know, if you're not able to do it, we've got somebody else here that can do it. All right, well, just hold on a second. Let us, you know, crunch a few numbers here. We'll get back to you. Wouldn't surprise me if it's a situation like that. But YouTube, a streaming partner of the NFL, they've broadcast games. You'd think Netflix would want to at least try that out. Maybe it's leveraging Amazon, you know, the long since rumored future partner of the NFL that they eventually landed and are looking to expand even more. It only makes sense for the NFL to just kind of dangle the carrot around and see who's up for taking it, especially if it's a Christmas Day market.
Interesting. I didn't think about it that way in terms of the overtime that might be paid and so forth. But, I tell you, the ratings have been so big on those games. And to me, to put it on streaming opposite a full day of NBA, that really is going to test as to how strong you really are, wouldn't it?
It would. I would counter it with this. It makes you wonder if the streaming services want it. You know, let's be careful not to put the cart in front of the horse.
Right.
Maybe it's the NFL saying, we don't have this signed with somebody else. It's going to cost extra due to this provision. We want to dip into this market, so we need a special circumstance in order to do it. If we're going to do it, we need to make it appealing for Netflix. So Netflix, that doesn't operate on ratings, they're pure conversion. Here's a great opportunity for you to get in with what is, you know, viewed per rating by several million people. We can put it on your platform for this. Well, I don't know if we're really interested in that because of this and that and the other thing. All right, well, it's Christmas Day. A lot of people are coming into this. It's going to be a focal point for everything. What do you think? Well, okay, you know, you talked me into it. It might very well be that the streaming services might not want to do it for the exact reasons that we just talked about. You didn't see great conversion to Peacock, not bad, for that playoff game. Maybe they're trying to you know, increase the size of the carrot that they're dangling and you know, telling Netflix in this case, Christmas Day, you've got an active market. This is great backdrop TV. People aren't watching Christmas Story anymore. They want to watch football if it's available for them to watch. Something like that. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. It's one of those things. I really wish I could be a fly on the wall just because I'm curious what, you know, where the leverage is kind of going in the whole thing. I can see risk on both sides for sure. But Christmas Day, that's a market. You know, people get in on that pretty quickly and pretty aggressively.
They won't be watching Christmas Story.
Just a guess. That was the first one I thought of. Hey. Who watched Christmas Vacation? I'm sure there are plenty of people that are watching that.
I mean, come on. I mean, we have to sit here. We have to wonder if Ralph even received some presents. Come on.
I can't even do it. I was trying to make a joke regarding one team shooting its eye out versus the other. Maybe Netflix does it anyway. How about this? You have them both.
How about Christmas?
You've got enough for 100% of the market
with
that.
It's a double header, but in between games, you play Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that works. Oh, and other people, I guess, went out and went sledding or caroling or something growing up. I watched TV. How good that was. That was my family tradition. We had these movies down. You know, I was a kid when Christmas Vacation came out. We oftentimes likened our father to Clark W. Griswold. He's pretty much the same guy. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of memories come to that. We still do that, but I'm not going to lie to you. I would have much rather watched football.
Oh, so would I.
And
oh, no.
I fight today, too. I don't know.
Oh, man, I remember watching the Dolphins and the Chiefs game on Christmas Day in 1971 when Ed Podolak, who's become a friend over the years, who just retired as the analyst at Iowa, Right.
Yep.
Had that 350-yard all-around game, and Gary Yeah Premium won it in the second overtime with a field goal. I mean, that was Christmas Day. People watched it. I don't know if you can do that. People watched it droves.
It's a legendary game that built the mystique of football for generations to come. Yeah. I think of Leon Lett. Wait, was Leon Lett Thanksgiving or was that Christmas?
No, that was Thanksgiving.
I think that was against
Miami too.
It was. That's why I thought you were going initially. You know, Miami. Put Miami in this game. Put them on the road. Put them in the snow. Everyone wants to watch that. We probably would have started this segment saying how we don't think this is a good idea or how much is too much. And we're going to end up talking about football anyway. This is exactly why they do it. And the provider of that, I think it's smart of the NFL to diversify, give a taste of their product to, potential customers for the future. You know, streaming probably changes things a little bit for everybody involved, but it's a market they need to get into. And I'll watch it on whatever it is, because to be honest with you, I have all those outlets anyway.
Right,
so,
sure.
I'm tuning in either way.
So whenever they do put a schedule out, whatever year it happens to be, what is the first thing that you look for in this particular year? Would it be the Christmas Day matchups, or would it be the Thanksgiving matchups? What do you look for first?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know. How about this? I'll tell you next week what I did look at.
Okay.
We are at a point now where this has become, and this is, I think, kind of lame to do the reveal show. I don't think that has the appeal that they want it to have. The ratings for it is very low. People just hang out on social media and look for their team.
Right, that's right.
And they'll leak out the games as the day goes on. By this time tomorrow, we'll know most people's schedules already. For me, I guess, the opener, which we usually know in advance, that's one you probably shouldn't bother trying to keep secret. We already know the international games.
Yeah.
That week one Monday night game, I think, is a good one. But again, I know that ahead of it.
Right.
I don't know. I guess I just go kind of game by game and take a look and see. I'll check out the Steelers' schedule, of course. They play at home in week one now. Didn't happen for like a decade there.
That was
kind of interesting. For me, my answer would probably be I'd look for the Steelers-Ravens game still. I'm still kind of into that.
Okay.
So usually it's a between weeks 2 and 4 primetime game. We see that pretty often, and I think there's enough hype between the two of them. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those come up, whether that's in Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Hope it's not a Thursday game early. That's kind of lame.
Yeah. Neil, always a pleasure. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's Sandy Neil Coulong. Great to have him as always on the show. We'll hear from Neil next Tuesday. This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have so many insurance needs. They handle them all, and they do so by getting you the best price while making sure you're fully insured. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. From the Sunbury Motor Studio, thanks so much for joining us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.